Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Good morning to you. The NFL is definitely big time. It is the league every other league wants to be when it grows up. And Sunday, yet another example. All you got to do is think about how the day started, the drama and the headlines, even before they stepped on the field. This is the way the NFL dominates, and it's only just begun. A Sunday that had the Dak Prescott contract extension resetting the quarterback market at $60 million per year. All the wild twists and turns from the day on the field and games like, oh, I don't know, the Bengals laying an egg at home against the Patriots. We'll get to that. The Bills having to rally past the Cardinals in Western New York. The Cowboys, that defense setting the tone, the offense coming up with big chunk plays, and the Browns fans getting booed mercilessly by their own. The Vikings, another big story that we'll get to, as the Giants fans were also booing Daniel Jones and the throwback uniforms. Well, I don't know if that was the reason why, but boy, those uniforms were ugly. The 100th anniversary of the Giants becoming a franchise. And it was not a new low, but it was low, low, low. How low can you go? Tom Brady makes his debut on Fox. We have no Russell Wilson for the Steelers after all that. Ja'Marr Chase, he's out there for the Bengals, but he's not happy. The rookie QBs make their first appearances in games that count. Oh, and Tyreek Hill, as well as Calais Campbell, detained by police just outside of Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday morning. If you haven't heard Tyreek's comments about getting handcuffed after a traffic incident, you will. He spoke about it following the Dolphins' rally past the Jaguars for the W. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Many jumbled thoughts. So far, I think they're coming out relatively clearly. I'm not sure I've made up any new words on this Sunday into a Monday covering the NFL. I started my Sunday actually in Dallas after a late night wedding Saturday, straight to the airport, back home in time for the first kickoffs. And I enjoyed taking my notes and also trying to find my own midseason form. We've got our first After Hours Monday MVP poll available. And we've included the dude with the four passing touchdowns. It's probably going to get a little tougher against Detroit next week, but Baker Mayfield had four passing TDs against the Carolina Panthers. Oh, no, I take that back. That was Tampa Bay against Washington. Against the rebuilt, still a work in progress, Commanders defense. J.K. Dobbins of the Chargers with some huge plays to help Jim Harbaugh get his first win. We just talked about Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs and the options for C.J. Stroud and the Texans. And then Tyreek Hill, who had an 80-yard touchdown reception as one of the, well, as the turning point of the game for the Dolphins against the Jags. So those are your four options. I kind of feel like Chris Boswell deserves to be in the poll. There are others that we could put in there. You can always reply and do a write-in ballot, if you will. So at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours. And I swear, at this next break, I'm going to get the post up on Facebook, too. We've covered most of the game. So if you missed anything, you can get it on our podcast. We still have three that we have not touched. And we're going to get to those starting in this segment. But first, the Lions, they capped a wild Sunday week one in the NFL. And they had a 14-point lead early on. Matthew Stafford throws a red zone interception. The Lions get a fourth down stop on the Rams. Unfortunately, LA also lost Puka Nacua to a knee injury, so we'll wait word on him coming up on this Monday. But yeah, it was both. It was the defense for Detroit, and it was the extended first half scoring drives, and it certainly looked like this was going to be a runaway win for the Lions. Except that LA rallies with three straight scoring drives of its own. And after a Jared Goff interception, there's a moment where the Rams are staring at a full field, but a chance for them to go ahead after being in a hole. Check out our show Twix. If you have not seen the Cooper Kupp reception, on the sideline, the toe drag swag, and without Nacua, Stafford had to really rely on him, and he does. I mean, this is what Cooper Kupp is good for. Remember a couple years ago when he was the workhorse for this team that ended up winning the Super Bowl?
Play action, throw to the flat, Kupp at the six, Kupp to the pylon, touchdown Cooper Kupp! Touchdown LA! 9-dime with a clutch direct deposit, a 19-17 lead with 4.5 to go.
That's JB Long on Rams radio. Yes, with the extra point and that Cooper Kupp connection, the Rams take the lead 20-17, which is fairly stunning for the Lions and their fans there in Detroit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Detroit then has the option of either folding like a cheap tent or figuring out a way to force this game further. So they have an overtime because of a late field goal, which in and of itself was impressive. And this is a team that's built with veterans. It's a team that shouldn't be flummoxed by a situation like this. They faced a lot of adversity last season, even in getting to double figure wins and grabbing the NFC North title. If they want to be a Super Bowl team, if they want to get past the NFC Championship or even get back to that point again, they need to be able to stay calm in the pressure cooker. And they did. They were able to get to the point where they forced that late field goal and into overtime, they win the coin flip. And as I'm listening to the Lions radio network, someone on the radio said, yes, because they didn't want to have to give that ball back to Matthew Stafford and his offense. Now, here's the interesting thing. Even with Jameson Williams, who hauled in a 52-yard touchdown catch from Jared Goff earlier in the game, even with Sam Laporta, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, even with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who got paid because he's one of the best wide receivers in the league, Detroit actually goes almost exclusively run plays in the overtime. 7 of the 8 offensive snaps are rushing attempts, including that moment where they got up close and personal with the end line.
Goff takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, yes. End zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions!
Yes.
This game is over! Pack it up, boys, we're going home! An opening night victory for the Lions! They come from behind in the final minute and tie it, they take the ball in overtime, and march 70 yards down the field and win it.
But I plan to have a lot more, you know.
Nothing against them. I was in the mold, though. I was already locked in at that point where, you know, felt like I had to prove myself to myself. You know, I felt like that was the greatest opportunity for it to happen.
David Montgomery punches in that last rushing attempt for the Lions. But as I say, 7 run plays on this walk-off drive, and they have 163 total rushing yards. More rushing attempts than passing attempts. And so that should tell you something about the Lions offense. They've got a ton of options. Even after paying Jared Goff, what, $55 million per year with his newest extension, what they want to do is figure out a way to keep defenses off balance. And they were able to do that because it was clear on that overtime drive that the Rams weren't able to stop the run. And so they were going to keep doing what was working. They're missing Aaron Donald. But still, it was a good toe-to-toe battle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Dan Miller, the play-by-play voice on the Rams. Nope, not the Rams. On the Lions radio network, and we had a chance to catch up with him actually when he was on the way home from the stadium. He joined us earlier in the show. If you missed it, good stuff. He's one of the best. He's been doing Lions radio now for 20 years and has seen some of the lowest of the lows, including those years when Matthew Stafford was there. So he was back last night in Detroit. And now the Dan Campbell years, and along with his Applebee's commercials, he has the ability to inspire a locker room. He wants them to have an identity of toughness and grit. And part of what Dan talks about with Dan Campbell, so Dan Miller talking about Dan Campbell, is that he's the same guy all the time. He's very consistent. He's very real. He's very authentic. And the players, the locker room, the people know that what you see and what you hear is what you get with Dan Campbell. So you take the win and you move on. But this is a Detroit team that's just starting out and has very high expectations in 24.
Man, it's inevitable. It's every year. And it really is. It's, you know, first game and the ones that can just play basic football the best, man. The blocking, the tackling, targeting, communication, taking care of the football, being smart with it, the check down. It's they win.
For Matthew Stafford and the Rams, you know, they found a rhythm in there, even without Puka Nacua. That drive where they took the lead, he was 8 for 8. He gets banged up and yet still is an Iron Man. I kind of feel like there's not a whole lot that can stop Stafford. But the Rams were also really aggressive against that Detroit defense, trying to find seams.
We came in here with an aggressive mindset and mentality. Didn't feel like you could settle for field goals. That's why we came up short the last time. And then ultimately, a couple of those situations is inevitably what ended up leading to us probably not finishing it out tonight. The penalty was a big one to bring the touchdown back, and then having a turnover, and then that one that you alluded to. But all those are growth opportunities for us. But we came here to be aggressive, and I wouldn't take that decision back.
49 passing attempts for Matthew Stafford in this one. But the Lions prevail in OT because of their balanced attack and their ferocious D. 26-20 is the final. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So from that NFC West, we know the Niners will play tonight against the Jets. So that's your Monday night game that will wrap up week number one. Kind of crazy to think about that. But yeah, it's been one frenetic pace since Thursday. So the Niners still have yet to play. The Seahawks earlier beat the Broncos in the debut for Bo Nix. Geno Smith, after an early pick, is able to settle in and runs the offense spectacularly. Seahawks defense did great against the rookie. So Seattle's 1-0. The Rams are 0-1. That leaves the Cardinals. And this is the first full season for Kyler Murray and Jonathan Gannon together. And they're on the road in Buffalo to start their season. Honestly, right away, it felt like Kyler was comfortable. He was like the Kyler we'd seen pre-ACL. He looked fresh, and maybe that's part of because he had most of last season where he had to sit and watch and rehab. But it was a 13-play drive for the Cardinals before a Michael Wilson touchdown. And then right on the heels of that, Josh Allen hanging on to the ball too long. He's kind of circling around doing figure eights behind an offensive line that has allowed the defense to break through. And instead of getting rid of the football like a veteran quarterback should, he ends up getting sacked, fumbling the ball, which leads to a Cardinals field goal. Then there's a James Conner touchdown that caps a third straight scoring drive for Arizona. And like that, the Bills are in a 17-3 hole. Though, Josh Allen, he's got that mentality and isn't afraid of these types of situations. I still don't love him being their top running option, but until they find a consistent run game, this is likely how it's going to be. There's been a lot of change on both sides of the ball for Buffalo. He needs to be the constant. And so they get a rushing touchdown from him in the final 20 seconds of the first half, and then able to put together two strong scoring drives in that third quarter.
Bills go an empty set, three to the right, two to the left. On a third and 10, play clock down to five. Three, two, here's the snap. Another blitz down the middle. Touchdown, Mac Hollins. An 11-yard touchdown strike from Allen to Hollins. And the Barefoot Wonder scores from 11 yards out. So we got a first and 10 at the 11. The Bills can get a first down if they get to the half-yard line. Three receivers to the left, Kincaid on the right. Cook to the right of Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Quick hitter to Shakir. Has a blocker in front. Down to the three, two, reaching for the goal line, and he's in! Khalil Shakir with an 11-yard catch and run for the touchdown!
That's the call on Bills Radio. And so, yes, they were able to put together these two scoring drives, Mac Hollins and then Khalil Shakir with a touchdown. That actually comes after Kyler Murray got sacked and fumbled himself. So they sandwich those drives around a turnover by the Cardinals. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. Allen ends up with another rushing touchdown late in this game, but as he was leaping over Buda Baker, it seemed like as he was putting his hand down, or is, well, he had the football gripped in his hands, but he's trying to brace as he's coming down after getting over Buda Baker. So what goes up must come down. And he also gets kind of shoved a little bit in there. And so that whole sequence leaves him with one of his hands around the ball, but kind of like underneath him, if you will. And so it's just an awkward fall, and there is some concern. He was talking about it after the fact, where he felt like he was dealing with some pain, and he even said, I probably can't make a living doing that, but here we are. So yeah, maybe a hand injury. Not a whole lot of information. I'm sure they want to wait and see how he responds today and how the hand is as they move forward. But yeah, these rushing touchdowns, as big as he is, as tough as he is, as much of a bulldozer as Josh Allen can be, this is not the way that the Bills want to make a living. They need a consistent run game. They need to find other options, consistent options, because Josh Allen shouldn't be the catalyst for their run game. James Cook, Ray Davis, I mean, they've got a lot of question marks to start out. They've got a lot of different kinks they have to work out, if you will. And so it's certainly going to be a month or so until they can find consistency and really gel. They were over 100 yards rushing. Just that Josh Allen's doing the heavy lifting. And that can be kind of tough. And even you hear Josh talking about it, recognizing that this isn't the best way the best way to be putting himself out there moving forward.
Just kind of, again, split-second situations. The first rushing touchdown, I kind of lowered the shoulder, knowing that was a corner. The second time, I know it was Buda, and Buda's a... he's a good player, and he'll lay the boom on you, so I decided to go up and over, but, you know, probably can't make a living doing that, but here we are.
I probably can't make a living doing that, but here we are. Oh, yes. So the Bills rally, they get the win, but we would be remiss if we did not let you hear what is a first in the NFL.
Murray in the shotgun on 4th and 7. 32 seconds left. Bills up 34-28. Play clock down.
Bass will be kicking into the wind. Again, he's got to get it past the 20, and the wind is whipping as we look to our left at the flags on the top of each upright. This one hangs in the air. It'll make it past the 20, but it's taken on the 5-yard line by Dallas. Up the middle, 10, 20, 30, 35. Dallas to the 40, breaks the tackle. Far side of midfield, 45-40. Dallas 35-30, 25-20. Dallas to the 10, to the 5, dives into the end zone. It's a touchdown for the Cardinals. A kickoff return for a score, and Arizona's right back in the game.
How about that? First dynamic kickoff return, and the name of this new formation is the dynamic formation. Not a whole lot of scintillating results in week number one, but we did get the very first kickoff return for a touchdown out of this new formation, 96 yards. And once DJ Davis found that hole and he was gone, I mean, he was a bulldozer himself. And so, yeah, momentarily there, because James Conner had the 2-point conversion, the Cardinals pulled within 3. So a good test for the Bills. It's certainly going to get tougher, but it was a good test for them early on. Just hoping there's nothing wrong with Josh's hand and that they can protect him from those kinds of things late. They were 4 of 6 in the red zone, but, you know, the early turnover, a bunch of penalty flags. So still plenty to clean up for really every team. But the defense, it got tougher too as they went into the second half. And Sean McDermott certainly liked that from his crew.
We weren't very good at all. And some of it was they were getting into third and manageable situations. And that goes back to winning first and second down. So I thought Bobby and the defensive staff did a great job at halftime, you know, addressing it and then making some adjustments. And I think we came out better in the second half and played a little bit more our style defense and were a little bit more aggressive and just playing and just having some fun out there.
So Sean McDermott and the Bills start off the season with a win. In fact, 3 of the 4 teams have already put a win in that column. Jets will play tonight against the Niners, but Bills get a victory and try to start off defending another AFC East title. The Dolphins, who we talked about extensively earlier in the show, they have to rally past the Jaguars. The big story there about Tyreek Hill and his performance after he gets detained by police roughly 3 hours before kickoff. You'll hear from him. And the Patriots, who we haven't talked about yet, one of the 2 games left that we haven't hit. Patriots at Bengals, that'll come up next in Gerard Mayo's debut, taking over.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy 2. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy 2 get 4 free when you buy 6. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the legendary Bill Belichick, it was another opening week dud for Cincinnati, but the Patriots maybe better than what people expected. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find our Monday MVP poll up on social at Amy After Hours. I'm going to throw it up on Facebook here, as in like right now. I keep saying that, but I swear I'm going to this time. Good morning to you. Welcome to a Monday here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Stevenson has fumbled once today. He got it back himself. Behind Brissett, who's under center. Hooper, one of 2 tight ends, right. Henry to the left to give to Ramondre. Starts right, cuts it back to the inside. And he's going to nearly slip away from a defender, but he picks up a first down nonetheless.
It's over.
He gets to the Cincinnati 44.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. with the Ramondre Stevenson 9-yard run for a first down that sealed this victory in Cincinnati. I don't want to say it was dicey, but of course it was a one-score game for a good portion of it. So that meant that the Bengals were within reach, but they really never had a whole lot of momentum, and it was one step forward and two steps back against a Patriots defense that was game and a Gerard Mayo debut that produced a W in the wake of Bill Belichick's agreeing to step away and now get on InstaFace and do about 17 different media commitments per week. He's around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah,
another, hello, InstaFace.
Another.
See you soon.
Oh, actually, he's part of Monday Night Mannings tonight. I think that they're starting tonight. I don't know why they wouldn't, but Jets and Niners, I guess I didn't check the schedule, but if they do debut tonight, you'll get Bill Belichick as well.
Surprised to see me here? Well, I am too.
It's way too happy. I don't know what to do with a happy Bill Belichick. So it's another opening dud for the Bengals. And even though they got Ja'Marr Chase back on the field, he was limited. He said he had food poisoning on Saturday. But he was still out there. There was no T. Higgins, though. He was injured. So that took away from what Joe Burrow and his offense could do. But I don't think that's any excuse. They looked really disjointed. This seems to be what they do in openers under Joe Burrow. They've got just one win since Joe Burrow joined them as their quarterback in this opening weekend. Another couple of turnovers. They lost the time of possession battle to the Patriots. Instead, New England pitches a first-half shutout. They've got a forced fumble at the one-yard line, which was huge because it was like a stake in the heart of the Bengals. They think they're going into the end zone, and instead, that ball is punched loose, and it goes the other direction. A really steady offense, too, with Jacoby Brissett. So I liked seeing what we saw from him. He's a veteran guy. I mean, he rushed for a first down at one point, which is not something that Brissett does a ton. But he and Ramondre Stevenson and that run game, it was huge. It was steady. It was 170 yards on the ground. And that, too, kept the ball away from the Bengals as much, like that time of possession battle that was so critical. So Burrow was limited to 164 yards. Ja'Marr Chase, as I say, he played. He had a half dozen catches, but not a whole lot to write home about when it comes to the Bengals offense.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing a good job keeping everything in front. Take what the defense gives me. Like I said, we'll watch the tape.
As for Gerard Mayo, one of the youngest coaches in the NFL, learned under Belichick, of course, played for the Patriots, then was part of Belichick's coaching staff. This first victory, though, belongs to him as head coach.
Thought the guys went out there and competed hard. We talked about establishing the run game and being able to stop their running game, make them one-dimensional. We did a good job with that. I'll say we still left a lot of plays out there, but we're going to enjoy this one on the flight home and, you know, get ready for next week.
Is it possible that Patriots fans lowered their expectations way too much? If they can be that steady and productive on the ground, well, they'll be able to challenge, not to mention the defense, of course. They'll be able to challenge for wins every week if they can do that. Now, they're not going to get behind in a big hole and start chucking and ducking and putting a bunch of points on the board in bunches, like, or quickly, rapidly. That doesn't seem like their MO. But if Brissett can take care of the football, if Ramondre Stevenson and the run game can establish that, they can control the ball, win the time of possession battle and the turnover battle, well, the defense can do the rest. But so many Patriots fans reached out before the season and your expectations were one win, three wins, four wins. I get that the AFC East is likely a stacked division this year with the Dolphins, the Bills. We'll see what happens with the Jets if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy. But the Patriots, they get this first win on the road in Cincinnati. That's huge. So congratulations to Gerard Mayo. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also our Monday MVP poll. Without much fanfare, I didn't put a GIF up or anything, but it's on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and certainly you can have some write-in votes if you like. I don't know, Micah Parsons, he looked pretty damn good in week number one for the Cowboys, as he always does. And what about Sam Darnold? I'm thinking that New York football fans, seeing Sam Darnold back at MetLife working a near perfect first half was probably not what they wanted. Vikings and Giants, the last game that we have not covered. We'll also let you hear from Tyreek Hill and maybe, just maybe, work in some of that Cowboys win as well. It's a mad dash to the finish line, peeps, on this Monday morning. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Takiya. This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We kick off with Sunday Night Football in Detroit. The Lions and Rams were tied at 20 in overtime.
Goff takes the snap, turns, gives to Montgomery, right side, end zone, touchdown, yes. Detroit Lions. Yes. This game is over. Pack it up, boys. We're going home. An opening night victory for the Lions. They come from behind in the final minute and tie it. They take the ball in overtime and march 70 yards down the field and win it.
Dan Miller on Lions Radio. Lions beat the Rams in overtime 26-20. Elsewhere, Bucks over the Commanders 37-20. Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Dak Prescott threw for 179 yards and a touchdown before the game. The Cowboys and Prescott agreeing on a four-year, $240 million extension, making him the highest-paid player in NFL history. Locks him up through the 2028 season. Other games, Seahawks over the Broncos 26-20, Dolphins 20, Jaguars 17, the Saints over the Panthers 47-10, Vikings 28, Giants 6, Chargers beat the Raiders 22-10, Texans 29, Colts 27, Patriots over the Bengals 16-10, Bears 24, Titans 17, Bills top the Cardinals 34-28, the Steelers over the Falcons 18-10. Baseball, Diamondbacks over the Astros 12-6, Giants 7, Padres 6, the Dodgers beat the Guardians 4-0. In 11, Braves 4, Blue Jays 3, Reds over the Mets 3-1, White Sox 7, Red Sox 2, Mariners beat the Cardinals 10-4, Tigers pound the A's 9-1, Rays blight the Orioles 2-0, the Cubs get by the Yankees 2-1. Rangers 7, Angels 4, the Rockies beat the Brewers 4-1, Royals 2, Twins 0. The Marlins over the Phillies 10-1. The Pirates beat the Nationals 7-3. Tennis, the U.S. Open men's final. Top seed Jannik Sinner, straight sets over number 12. Taylor Fritz, 6-3, 6-4, 7-5 for Sinner, his second career Grand Slam title. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Darnold shotgun, Aaron Jones to his left. Jefferson wide left. Now Jones heads out to the right. Fourth down. Pass to the end zone. Caught! Sam Darnold putting on a show. Just found Justin Jefferson, and the Minnesota Vikings lead 13-3.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome back to MetLife Stadium. Sam Darnold. Wowzers. You think he was motivated with his first new opportunity in a while? 10 for 10. He starts out the game, and as you hear with Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, a 44-yard strike to Justin Jefferson, a touchdown as well to Jefferson, and early on, the Vikings had established themselves with what was a very potent passing attack against this Giants D, which is supposed to have more of a pass rush, number one. Number two is supposed to be a little tougher than what we saw against the Vikings. Aaron Jones gets his first touchdown as a member of the purple and white. And it was kind of funny, too. I know they weren't home, but he did do a pseudo Lambo leap into the stands there at MetLife. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. I think the leap has to stay at Lambo once you leave the Packers. But he brought it with him. So, yeah, Aaron Jones and Justin Jefferson and Jalen Naylor as well. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's like Sam Darnold is doing a Tom Brady impersonation.
First and 10 for the Vikings from the Giants 21. Darnold shotgun puts Justin Jefferson in halo motion to the right. J.J. started in the backfield. Darnold is going to throw to the end zone. Man wide open. Touchdown, Vikings! Jalen Naylor with his second career touchdown. Sam has thrown two today.
Yeah, he also did have an interception, but over 200 yards. And for the Minnesota Vikings to be able to win this turnover battle, to be able to, I think, get this big win on the road is huge because they're in a division where there are zero expectations for them. I mean, I would say that a lot of people even expect the Bears with Caleb Williams to be better than this team, having lost J.J. McCarthy. And, of course, Kirk Cousins is with the Falcons. There are not a lot of expectations. It's supposed to be a rebuild year for these Vikings. And yet to get this victory on the road, even if that winning record doesn't last long, is a big deal. And also, even thinking ahead to TD of the week, which is something we do here on After Hours, this has got to be a candidate. Daniel Jones wearing the throwback uniform to the 100th anniversary celebration. I can't imagine these are actually the uniforms they wore 100 years ago, but maybe, just maybe. Anyway, for all the photos and video they have from back then, you know, this was bad to worse for Daniel Jones, even as people continue to ask whether or not he's the franchise QB for New York.
And here comes Daniel Jones, 12 of 22 for 111 yards. Vikes lead 21-6. Jones, oh, he threw it to Van Ginkel. Touchdown! That's the fourth touchdown in Andrew Van Ginkel's career. And he read Daniel Jones like a book, and that book had a happy ending.
Once again, Paul Allen on Vikings Radio. Yeah, this was a weird formation from the Giants. If you watch the replay, it's kind of interesting because they've got a bunch formation that's split off right of their offensive line. And as Daniel Jones takes the ball and starts to back up, it's clear Van Ginkel knows exactly what's about to happen because he just goes right in between the two groups of Giants, picks off the ball, and boom. It's like the ball was thrown right to him. His timing was perfect, and he knew exactly what was coming. So, he steps in front of that pass and is able to take it in for a 10-yard touchdown. New York's got no TDs. They go 0-for-3 in the red zone. A couple of interceptions, the one that you just heard. Only 3.5 yards per play in this one. And a rough day for Daniel Jones. In fact, Paul Allen gave you the numbers. They were hearing the boos from the crowd at MetLife. And I do know that fans pay a lot of money. And so many of you believe it's your right to be able to boo. Maybe Daniel Jones is still recovering from the knee injury. There's just a lot of changes early on. And these guys don't play a ton of the preseason. So I kind of feel like the booing, especially as loudly as you heard it in multiple stadiums on Sunday, is premature. And actually, Dexter Lawrence, the veteran defender, didn't love it for the Giants fans either.
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. It's just a rough patch. It just is what it is.
He's a captain. He's a longtime defensive lineman. And sending a message to the fans that he doesn't respect it. I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but it's rough. Daniel Jones leaving the stadium, and he's walking out toward his car where the Giants players would park. And it's a cordoned off area. Essentially, it's like a queue if you were going to, I don't know, some type of amusement park, or you're going to some type of an event and you have to stand in a queue in a line. So it's that type of a thing. It's a long cordoned off area where the fans are nearby, but they can't get to the players. There's security there. As Daniel comes out of the stadium, he is getting ripped mercilessly. Not in the stadium anymore, not on the field, not in uniform, but there are fans who are filming. And as they're filming Jones walking out of the stadium and to the parking area, I mean, the things that were said about him, just nasty. Again, I understand why fans feel entitled to boo. At the same time, it's so ridiculous. People get so carried away. He's no longer in a uniform. He's not on the field. Now he's just walking around like a normal human being. And yet this is the type of stuff that's being said. So I heard it in Cleveland. I know a bunch of Browns fans, maybe even listening, were booing yesterday when the Cowboys jumped out to a pretty easy lead and were able to dominate the Browns on Sunday. I'm trying to think where else I heard the booing. I mean, the Bengals got booed as well. There was a lot of it, even though it's just week one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Kevin O'Connell doesn't have his rookie, won't be available this year. Instead, loves what he saw from Sam.
Just thought offensively, Sam Darnold, for a guy in a new system to start 12 for 12 and be incredibly poised throughout the day, huge performance for us to be able to build off.
It's probably too early, but I don't know, maybe comeback player of the year. You never know. He's got a lot of weapons around him. He really does there in Minnesota. Although, again, the Vikings have very low expectations. But to add Aaron Jones, he goes nearly 100 yards. He has a touchdown. And they look good against a Giants defense that was pretty good the last couple years itself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you didn't hear us talk about Jaguars and Dolphins, we did that earlier in the show. In terms of the game itself, Dolphins have to rally from a couple of touchdowns back, and it's a turnover by Travis Etienne, essentially on the goal line, that provides the turning point. Tyreek Hill then, next play, catches a deep pass from Tua along the left sideline, and he turns on the speed and he's gone. So he goes 80 yards for a score. And yes, the Dolphins get the win, but the big conversation and the big line of questioning for Tua and Mike McDaniel and Tyreek and really any of the Dolphins is about what happened before the game, in which Tyreek Hill gets pulled over as he's on his way to the stadium. He is cited for speeding, I believe, and thought there was a report of reckless driving. But the authorities say there was a verbal altercation. And in that moment, they end up putting him down on the ground and handcuffing him. So there's pretty stark video of him getting handcuffed, laying on the ground, being handcuffed by authorities not that far from the stadium. And he was in good spirits. I mean, like, he was feeling himself after the game. He was jumping all around and he was screaming and yelling with his teammates on the field. So it didn't sound like it affected him too much, but he was a little more sober in answering questions post game about why he was handcuffed.
I have no idea, for real. No idea. No idea, man. It's crazy. No idea. It wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way. Didn't cuss. Didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man. What if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? Lord knows, like, what that guy or guys would have did. You feel me? And I was just making sure that, you know, I was doing what my uncle always told me to do whenever you're in a situation like that. Just listen. Put your hands on the steering wheel. Just listen. So, got to be careful, man.
Now, the report came after the fact that the arresting officer was placed on administrative leave, desk duty, in other words. So he was taken off the streets. He wasn't the only one there, though. There were three other officers. If you've seen the video, there's a big group of guys. There's cars. And then you've got other Dolphins who are on their way to the stadium and are stopping, like Calais Campbell. And Campbell also got detained. And so he was asked why. Now, Tyreek says, "I have no idea." Campbell said, "I was disobeying a direct order. The officer told me I was too close to the scene, and then I think he said something about me not moving my car in time. He told me I wasn't being arrested, but he cited me for being detained and then released." So Calais Campbell also ends up in handcuffs, and I'm sure there will be much more reaction to this coming up on Monday. But yeah, Tyreek was told that the arresting officer ended up getting desk duty.
That should tell you everything you need to know then. You feel me? I should tell you everything you need to know. So that's all I'm going to say about that situation. I'm just glad that my teammates were there to, like, support me in that situation, because I felt alone, you know. And when they showed up, it made me realize that we got a good team this year, dog. For them to, like, put their life on the line.
You try to prepare a team to handle the unknown. You definitely aren't forecasting exact situations. You just, you know, a lot of things fall into the veil of adversity. And I think the one common denominator is there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
So Mike McDaniel talking about the adversity, which is kind of a broad catch-all. Tyreek a little more specific. I mentioned Calais Campbell. I have no doubt that we'll hear more from the Dolphins this week, but they did end up getting the win, which certainly helps. Late field goal to rally past the Jaguars. Man, it was a day. Dak gets paid. I know we didn't get back to that, but the Cowboys go on the road and win in Cleveland. It's not Russell Wilson, but Justin Fields for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get 6 field goals from Chris Boswell and win in Atlanta. Tom Brady makes his debut to a lot of criticism. Enjoy your Monday. We're back at it tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!